You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Tribe Super, your go-to Middlesbrough FC podcast. I'm joined by Craig Johns and Dom Shaw. We've got the band back together and it's a big game this weekend. Middlesbrough versus Chelsea in the FA Cup quarter-final. And that is exactly where we're going to start, Craig. Plenty happening off the pitch with regards to Chelsea. And we'll start with that utterly bizarre request to have this game played behind closed doors. We knew as soon as we saw that statement from Chelsea, they were going to get laughed out of court. Well, so to speak, maybe a better phrase needed there. But they were going to get laughed out. It got withdrawn, didn't it, by Chelsea, Craig. And what did Chris Wilder have to say about it today?
Chris Wilder was quite strong in his opinion of it. More on the day that it all kind of came and very quickly went, thankfully, because, of course, it was the day of Middlesbrough's game against Birmingham. And, thankfully, that didn't prove too much of a distraction for them. And they won that game at Birmingham 2-0, which I'm sure we'll come out to discuss. But, yeah, I mean, he was quite clear in his thoughts that, you know, had that game gone ahead without supporters, you know, he kind of said he'd have considered, unless made by the club, not bothering to turn up. And you know, you can understand, and I know, like, you know, that's quite a brazen statement, and you can maybe think, oh, he threw that out there but didn't mean it. But he was deadly serious when he said that at Birmingham. He was genuinely considering not bothering turning up for this game if no fans were there. And you can completely understand, you know, it's a huge occasion. It's the FA Cup quarter-final. Middlesbrough, you know, hosting the European champions, the world champions, Chelsea. We saw how much it meant to Middlesbrough, to the town, to everybody, all the supporters, when they beat Tottenham in the last round. And to then come to the quarterfinals, you know, a place in the semi-finals, a trip to Wembley up for grabs, and to have no supporters there, for the players to walk out to empty red seats. It was absolutely ludicrous. And I think, you know, fair play to Middlesbrough, fair play to Steve Gibson. I think what it did show, again, you know, not that we needed any more evidence of it, but we got it anyway, you know, how much Steve Gibson cares for this football club and has this football club's best interest at heart, you know, be that the football club itself or in this case the supporters, because, you know, he doesn't suffer fills lightly, Steve Gibson. He's proven that in the past recently with Derby and Mel Morris, etc. And again here, you know, Chelsea, a big football club, one of the bigger football clubs in this country now, felt a bit like they were trying to throw the weight around, and you know, he was absolutely clear and very blunt with his kind of thoughts on it. And you know, as you say, ultimately we got the right course of action. Chelsea, I think, rather forced into withdrawing that that, as you say, a bizarre request, embarrassing request. A PR disaster from their point of view. And, you know, you look and you just think, you know, how did they even have the gall to even request it? Absolutely ridiculous. But thankfully, you know, not an issue. And the comeback from that is that Middlesbrough are actually getting an extra 3,200 supporters in the ground on the day. So, you know, all's well that ends well.
I actually thought it was a joke when I saw it. And we spoke in the last episode, Craig, that we thought that's what would happen. Middlesbrough would then sell out the full stage, in which, you know, it's going to be brilliant on Saturday. And Dom, not that they need any extra support, but with this utterly disastrous request from Chelsea, what they've done is got the whole of the country behind Middlesbrough, it seems. And you look across most, you know, fan counts on social media, everyone is now willing Middlesbrough on to beat Chelsea. So not only have they got a full Riverside, they seemingly have got nearly every corner of the UK backing them as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, let's be honest, I don't think Chelsea were ever the neutrals' favourite club anyway. But absolutely, I think what the reaction across the football world, Craig did a bit earlier this week on how kind of pundits had responded and how people responded on social media. And I think appalled, really. Insulting, you know, both to Borough fans and the FA Cup, and the arrogance of it, really. And I think the other thing is, we've all experienced over the last couple of years just how soulless football is without the fans there, and how a game becomes an occasion when you have the fans in the stadium, and that's obviously what football's all about. So to then suggest that that shouldn't be the case is scandalous, but obviously it was never going to be successful. Thomas Tuchel was asked on Friday whether he's expecting a more hostile reception because of it, and he said that he doesn't like use of the word hostile, but the term he used was emotional. He was expecting an emotional crowd, and I think the atmosphere will be absolutely rocking at the Riverside on Saturday night, even more so because of what's happened in the last week. And let's be honest, it was never going to be quiet. We saw what it was like against Tottenham. I said at the time, and I stand by it now, that was undoubtedly one of the best Riverside nights, and there's been a fair few, and tomorrow would absolutely be up there with the very best if Borough could pull it off. I think it'll be I like the kickoff time, because I think, you know, there's that buzz around the town all day, builds and builds and builds, and then Borough will be bouncing tomorrow night if they get a result tomorrow. I'm really looking forward to it.
It's going to be a great game. And how much is what is happening at Chelsea, Craig, in terms of obviously the sanctions and the drama that's surrounding the club? How much is that a distraction, do you think, for Middlesbrough? Or is Chris Wilder very much just focused on how good his side can be against what is, let's not forget, a very, very good footballing side in Chelsea?
Yeah, well, I don't think there'll be too much of a distraction from Borough. I think had there been any kind of danger of distraction, that would have come, as I said earlier, on Tuesday night at Birmingham, when, you know, Tuesday was the day that this all kicked off, the whole, you know, Chelsea putting that statement out and then later withdrawing it, because, you know, Chris Wilder praised his players after the Birmingham win in the way that they did respond to it all, because, you know, the human beings and most of them are on social media, and you know, he spoke about them being at the hotel in the Midlands, all having the, you know, the dinner and watching Sky Sports News and watching it all filter through the statements and whatnot. So, you know, it will have been in their conscience while they were kind of trying to prepare for a big game against Birmingham and what was three important points in you know, the bid for the playoffs in the Championship. So I think any distraction would have come that night, and thankfully it didn't. I think in terms of what's happening at Chelsea off the pitch, as you say, you know, it won't affect Chelsea, I can't think, on the pitch. You know, I think that the players will be fine, and Middlesbrough players will equally know that, you know, that they're not playing a club in crisis or anything like that. You know what I mean? They're playing a bunch of world-class players, and they will know that they have to be at the best. Everything has to go right for them. They have to do the job to a man, just like they did at Old Trafford, just like they did at Tottenham. I can't see any of that being a distraction in any way.
I've followed Wilder's press conference today, and I do love the fact he's just so honest and out there. Like, he doesn't hold anything back, does he? And his comments on how Chelsea are going to get up to the Riverside, I think, would have made quite a few people chuckle. Just for those who haven't read the comments or heard them on the TV, just to refresh our memories or refresh those listening what Wilder had to say about Chelsea's travel arrangements, Greg.
Yeah, so essentially he was asked if he had any kind of sympathy for them, and, you know, he said absolutely not. And in terms of travelling, you know, he quite rightly stated that, you know, there's certainly worse ways of travelling than on, you know, they were talking at one point of needing to get a 5-hour coach trip up to Middlesbrough, which would be the only affordable way to do it. And, you know, we're not talking about on the back of a mega bus here. You know, these coaches that the players travel on are very, very nice coaches.
I'll just jump in there and say there are other good coach companies that are out there, and there's nothing wrong with Megabus, just to cover the legal grounds. Continue, Greg.
Yeah. But yeah, so I mean, you know, the coach travel that Chelsea would have potentially taken to Teesside would have been, you know, a bit more luxurious than you or I are quite used to with coaches, let's put it that way. But no, you know, whether they had to pull that money out of their own back pocket, the players who are paid handsomely enough to do it, or you know, whether the I think in the end what's happened is the government have relaxed relaxed the limits on spending for this one game alone, haven't they? So, you know, he wasn't sure Wilder how they're going to get the Teesside, but he has very little sympathy for them, and is sure one way or another they will be here, and that won't be a factor in the game whatsoever.
You suggested about them putting the hand down the back of the couch, didn't he, and seeing if they could get a few pennies, because they'll not be short of a few bob. Dom, how important, I mean, the attention on this game on the field, I mean, do you think the Middlesbrough players go into this game with a bit of pressure, or do you think despite everything that's going on with Chelsea, they'll go in, Middlesbrough will come into this game as underdogs, and that might work to their advantage, you know, that they will upset the odds?
Yeah, absolutely zero pressure. I think to get to this stage, and to get to this stage in the manner they have done as well, you know, sometimes you see Championship teams or low league Premier League teams get through to the last eight and they've been helped along by a kind draw. You know, nothing of the sort from Borough, obviously. Regardless of what happens on Saturday night, this has been a great ride, and those wins at Man United and the win against Spurs, those kind of wins and games that you talk about for years down the line, especially the one at Man U, penalties, Friday night, 10,000 there. But equally, as has been the case throughout this run and against Man United and Spurs, you know, Borough aren't there to make the numbers up on Saturday night. Chris Wilder said, you know, we'll absolutely be going toe-to-toe with them. It was interesting, he was saying how two things. A, Chelsea, there's no chance of them taking Borough lightly and taking Borough for granted. And I think that's more the case after the wins over Man United and Tottenham. But also, he was saying how, you know, nothing about Borough will surprise Chelsea. Knowing Thomas Tuchel, how he knows Tuchel and how he operates, he'll know Borough inside out, so there'll be no surprise element there. But you know, I think one thing you can say about Chris Wilder's Borough team is they're fearless, and they don't change their approach regardless of who they're playing. This is undoubtedly the biggest test. You know, Chelsea are a better team than Man United and Spurs. I think they're quite by far a better team, really. You know, Man City and Liverpool are way ahead, and then Chelsea are way ahead of the rest, aren't they? But they have had a game in midweek. You know, they've had the uncertainty of, and as Wilder says, yeah, you know, these contracts are watertight of the players, but there's still that uncertainty that's niggled in the back of the players' minds for the last fortnight or so. And you have got to cling to all these small factors, haven't you? When you're a club like Borough and you're trying to knock a team like Chelsea out of the FA Cup, so it's undoubtedly the biggest test and the toughest test so far. But equally, I think it's one Borough will relish and fancy giving it a right good go again.
But Dom has mentioned a good point there, Craig. So I'll just quick, because you often get teams like Middlesbrough who are going for the playoffs, and I think back to last year when Brentford did quite well in the League Cup. And they actually beat Newcastle quite late in the competition with effectively a reserve side. And Thomas Frank had made no secret about the fact that he wasn't that interested in going very far because he wanted to concentrate on getting up. And that is usually the approach many managers take when they are battling for promotion. But as Dom says here, Chris Wilder, you know, he wants to see Middlesbrough go as far as possible. And then that, I guess, is a refreshing change to what we usually see at this time of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. And he was clear right from, you know, Middlesbrough's first participation in this competition, which, you know, is always round three, going to Mansfield. He was clear at the time, you know, I mean, obviously the Mansfield game was a bit different because he did make changes. They were enforced because the club was going through or just coming out of a COVID outbreak at that time. But nevertheless, he was clear then, as he is now, that he goes into every game wanting to win. And you know, for a lot of years, this football club has suffered from inconsistency. And that inconsistency is a big factor in why he is sat in the manager's seat today. Because the first half of the season, Borough were so inconsistent. So you know, he arrived at the club and, you know, setting new standards. and wanting to build a consistency. And for him, those standards, you know, have to be at the same level, whoever the opponent, whatever the game. So it doesn't matter whether it's a championship game, it doesn't matter whether it's an FA Cup game or even an under 23 game. Right throughout the club, he expects a standard. And if players aren't meeting those standards, they're not going to be, you know, part of this club long term. And the players have realised that very quickly, that, you know, they have to hit those standards as regularly as they possibly can. And we have seen from the FA Cup run that it has been beneficial to league form as well. You know, there's an incredible buzz around Middlesbrough, and Wilder spoke a lot about that in today's press conference. You know, incredible buzz around the place, and they're on this incredible home run, nine wins in a row now at the Riverside. And the crowd are playing their part in that. The crowd are the 12th man, to use that kind of cliche. They absolutely have been. And so it all plays a part in all adding to that. You know, the league games at home where they've had to kind of grind it out and it's been a bit of a struggle, the fans have got behind them, and they've got behind them because there's this huge buzz around the place. And so the FA Cup run has absolutely helped what's gone in the league.
Yeah, 100%. And it's good to see, and we're going to have, you know, obviously players battling for position. You've got so many stories within the Middlesbrough side as well. Players nearing the end of their career, youngsters just breaking through, some local lads as well. So I guess, Dom, that mix of, you know, players wanting to maybe go out on a high, players wanting to leave their mark, players on loan who want to show what they've got, it all adds into Middlesbrough's favour because these players want to prove a point for whatever reason, you know, that they do. So.
Yeah, there's an interview with Johnny Howson in the Telegraph today where he's talking about how at 33, he definitely appreciates every moment now more than he did when he was 19 or 20. Now, I know that sounds obvious, but he said when he was a young lad playing at Leeds and they beat Man United, a teammate of his kind of told him, you know, appreciate this. Occasions like this don't come round every week. And as a kind of naive young lad, he thought, you know, I'm only, 19, 20. I'm going to have plenty more occasions like this. But they don't, do they? You know, that's what we said about that Josh Coburn goal in the last round. You know, I've got every confidence that he'll go on and enjoy a brilliant career. But regardless of what happens to Coburn from here on in, he's always got that night. And I think there's a nice mix, as you've seen, the squad. You know, you've got Housen and Peltier and Bamber and players like that, experienced players who have such wise head on the shoulders and are a good foil, really, for the young lads coming through, Isaiah Jones, Marcus Tavernier, the others who are coming through, even players like Anthony Dykstra, are relatively young and inexperienced in the whole scheme of things. Dale Fry, really, but you know, he's been around forever now, but these certainly aren't older players. But I think the other thing is, while the talks about keeping feet on the ground and not getting carried away, and I think it's testament really to the character of the squad that they've been able to keep ticking along in the league. Now, I know there's been a few setbacks in recent weeks and a couple of disappointing performances, but let's be honest, that's just been more to do with, I think, general fatigue and games catching up, hasn't it, rather than any attitude problems. Wilder, as we know, doesn't change his team for the sake of changing it. He likes to keep a settled team. And the intensity with which the player was bound to start catching up with them at some point. I think this is probably the ideal fixture to have before the break rather than a league game, in that it looks after itself, doesn't it? You know, you lift yourself for a game like this regardless of how tired you are. Whereas if it was a league game, that's why I think that Birmingham win was so big in midweek. It felt like one big lift, didn't it, to get a much needed win before the break. And I think this is a hugely important 2 weeks coming up, just to get refreshed and then go again for the last push and hopefully finish in the top six.
Yeah, and we'll get on to that Birmingham game in just a moment. But you mentioned there Housen. I mean, if he performs like he did against Spurs, he puts in the same performance on Saturday evening, I mean, that's what we all want, isn't it? Because he was absolutely superb. How many weeks is it since that Spurs game? And I'm still applauding him for his efforts that night. Just before we move on to that Birmingham game. Then just a quick reminder to please like and follow the podcast. Totally free to do. Just means with every new episode we upload, you'll get a notification to say it is ready for you to listen to, and leave us a rating and review as well. Just means we can get the show out to a wider audience. Craig, let's talk about that.
I just want to jump in there on housing. Craig's better placed than me because obviously he's been at the press conferences, but it stood out to me that on two or three occasions now, Wilder has talked up housing in his performance against Tottenham, because it's not what he does, is it? You know, whenever you kind of try and get him on an individual player, he brings it back to the team and the fact it's a team effort. And, you know, very rarely will he kind of purr about an individual. But two or three times he's done it, even without being probed, hasn't he, on housing in his performance against Spurs?
He did exactly that today. He's done it again today and mentioned his performance and how he was head and shoulders above everybody on the pitch against Tottenham. And he was right as well. And not only that, he carried that form into the next game as well, which was a big home win against Luton. I think the turnaround for Johnny Howson as well, if we think about, you know, the first half of the season and many times in the way the team set up against under Neil Warnock, he looked quite overrun in midfield and at one point he kind of dropped back into the defence and recovered his form a bit from right back, and you were left questioning, does he still have the legs at 33 for central midfield? And Wilder's come in, changed the style. He's still the sole sitting midfielder, the only sitting midfielder they have. But, you know, now the way that they play with Tavern Crooks just ahead of him, you know, and the way that he's able to kind of get on the ball in that deep lying area and dictate the tempo for Burr in the middle of the park. You know, we know how good he is on the ball, how composed he is in possession. He has been one of many, but certainly, you know, a shining example of the players kind of thriving as individuals under Chris Wilder, as well as, you know, as a collective unit.
It's been brilliant to see. That game against Birmingham, Craig, we had the two goal scorers, Connolly and Balogun. How big of a confidence boost will it be for them two to get on to the score sheet? And do we expect the team that Lodge played against Birmingham to be the team that plays against Chelsea?
I would expect so with the team. I think, you know, ironically, that if there are any changes, that would be where the changes come. We know the first nine names on Chris Wilder's team sheet, providing there are no injuries and he didn't give any away today. You know, the first nine on the team sheet picked themselves. He did kind of accidentally let slip that his midfield three would be the same. You know, no surprise injuries in the midfield, and I doubt there will be any in the defence either. So, you know, it is only the forward two that potentially would and potentially ever will change under Wilder unless injury enforces it. But yeah, Balogun and Connolly have been very good in the last two. I thought, you know, Millwall was a very difficult game for both of them. You know, they're a strong physical team, Millwall, and Borough had to take what they could get on the day, but nevertheless, they both grafted really, really hard, and did a job for Borough up top, which meant that Millwall couldn't settle and didn't have it all their own way, and that helped Borough pick up a valuable away point, which, you know, they then took into the Birmingham game, a team, you know, still as strong and as physical as what Millwall were. Some very big centre backs now at Birmingham. But nevertheless, Borough were the, you know, the team more in the ascendancy. They had that little bit of extra quality in possession. And yeah, I mean, I'm not certain Aaron Connolly will get credited with the first goal, unfortunately. But nevertheless, you've got to credit the movement, because the movement to time that run and also get that, you know, work out where the ball's going and get in front of the defender in the way that he did to make the initial flick, which was blocked by the goalkeeper. You know, you can't knock that. That's what you want from your striker, and the way that Chris Wilder likes his sides to play in terms of, you know, being patient in the build-up and working it out wide. What you then need is strikers in the box like Aaron Connolly making those kind of movements so that there is an end product to all the patient build-up. Whether he gets credited with the goal or not, he deserves credit for his role in it. And then the Balogun goal, I mean, that was absolutely sublime, wasn't it? You know, we've been kind of waiting now a few weeks for Balogun to kind of to show what we know he's capable of, because, you know, he's coming from Arsenal. Arsenal think very highly of him, and they don't think very highly of just anybody. So there is obviously something about him, but he's a young boy. This is his first loan move, and, you know, the Championship is a relentless and an unforgiving league at times. And you know, he has taken a little while to kind of get used to that. And certainly in the physical aspects of it, he's taken a little time to get up to scratch with that. But we've seen definitely in the last two, that kind of coming on, that progressing. His hold-up play in the last two games has been really, really good. He's been dropping deeper and almost playing as the number 10 to collect the ball into feet and, you know, holding the ball up in the way that he did. And he played a part in the first goal, in the Aaron Connolly goal, holding the ball up with his back to goal and then playing that lovely black backheel flick for Dykstale, who continued his run. And, yeah, I mean, the finish for his goal, the second goal at Birmingham, was just absolutely outrageous. It was lovely, lovely, lovely stuff.
I think the Millwall midweek hammering of, well, I say hammering, it was only 2-0, but by all accounts, it was very, very one-sided. Their win against Huddersfield just kind of highlighted how good that point was for Borough, really, last week. Yeah, I think Millwall are unbeaten at 7 at home, conceded one goal in that time. They're kind of charging a bit, really, aren't they? But because there's so many teams in there doing similar, you kind of lose track, don't you, of who's doing what. But they're absolutely in the conversation. But I thought, you know, it was a good point, as long as you then go and build on it with the win at Birmingham. And I think Borough's win over Birmingham and, you know, Huddersfield unbeaten in 17 going into that, the last time they'd lost was when Borough won there in November or whenever it was. So that result kind of made me realise just how impressive, really. 4 points. You know, I'd have taken 4 points before those two games, undoubtedly. To do it and get two clean sheets in the process is just an added bonus, really.
I mean, Middlesbrough out of the playoffs on goal difference. Some of the reports of the game pointed out that Wilder might have been wishing Middlesbrough were a little more clinical in front of goal, because, you know, they dominated. Birmingham didn't register a shot on target. Craig, is that a little unfair, or should have Middlesbrough have added more and that maybe would have seen them, you know, I mean, because it could come down to goal difference in the end when we get to the final day of the season, and it'll be games like this where you go, well, maybe we should have added another couple.
Yeah, I mean, there's always that kind of if, buts and maybes, isn't there? There's always things and times where you feel you should have gotten more, and equally times where perhaps you got more than you deserved. There's always those kind of things through the season, and you know, there's no getting away from the fact that, you know, Middlesbrough haven't scored enough goals this season, you know, and I'm sure it is something that they'd love to address in the summer, albeit signing a goal scoring striker in the modern game is you know, the hardest thing you possibly can do, particularly when you're working under a budget as Middlesbrough are. You know, Middlesbrough don't have millions and millions and millions to just throw out the problem like some, only the elite clubs really do have. They've got to be more sensible about it. And unfortunately, goal scoring strikers, you know, come at a premium. So, you know, it's something they will work on, I'm sure. But, you know, everybody has to, and everyone has been chipping in with goals. And, you know, ultimately, for Middlesbrough to be where they are now in comparison to where they were when Chris Wilder took over, I think that in itself is an absolute credit to the club. And, you know, it was always a case when he arrived in November that, you know, he was quite clear that he was here as a medium to long-term project. But he did see it, if the door was open, they would try the hardest to go through that door. And the door's open for them. They've produced some brilliant form since he arrived, and they're absolutely in the mix with 9 games to go. It's going to be, you know, such an exciting run in, such an exciting 9 games after the international break. And, you know, I think rather than look at things like could they have done this, could they have done that, I think we just appreciate, you know, how much they have done to put themselves in the position that they are now in.
It was Middlesbrough's first away win of the year, league away win of the year, which I didn't actually realise. I guess, Dom, that shows you just how important that home form has been. You know, this is the first away victory since December the 29th.
I think it makes the home form all the more impressive, really, and there has been pressure on some of those home games. You know, I think of that Luton game. That was a big, big game, wasn't it? Same with West Brom as well. You know, there has been a couple of away setbacks that have then been followed by home games that have really been must-win. And Borough have responded and found a way to win. But, you know, that couldn't continue until the end of the season. If Borough wanted to finish in the top six, then they had to start finding some away performances and wins. So I think that was a good way. It appeared to be a kind fixture, really. To, you know, Birmingham at the minute isn't the most hostile place to go, is it? Because they barely have any fans in. They're not playing particularly well. And really, I thought it was as routine as you get. It never felt in doubt. I think it was exactly the kind of performance and win Borough needed going into this game, but also, you know, purely on what's happening in the league going into the break.
I guess sometimes those can be the kind of banana peels caught in that team slip up one. Thankfully, they didn't. Craig, just before we talk about Spence getting called up to the under-21 squad, I just want to ask you a quick question on how you feel Chris Wilder will be approaching the subject of promotion and playoffs. There was an interesting interview with Paul Heckenbottom on the BBC just a few days ago, where he was asked about the P word and whether they talk about it in the Sheffield United dressing room. And he said, well, we don't actively, but we don't avoid it. You know, you've kind of got to, because it is in the room. I'm just wondering how you feel it is at Middlesbrough. Has Wilder given any insight? Has he even been asked maybe a similar question by you guys?
Yeah, so I would say that he's kind of stance in answers he's given to similar questions himself. It's very similar to what it sounds like Paul Heckenbottom said there. I haven't seen those Heckenbottom quotes, but just based on what you said, very similar. Chris Wilder's always kind of said, you know, he'd be lying if he said he didn't look at the table and if he said the players didn't look at the table, because they do. And they'll all, as a collective, be aware of kind of, you know, the feeling around the club, the buzz around the club, and the rise in expectations to, you know, to make the playoffs now. Absolutely aware of that. And he's always said that he embraces that as well. He'd rather it be like that. He'd rather the expectations rise and playoffs be, you know, discussed, promotion be discussed, because that means that they're doing well. You know, the alternative is that nobody really talks about it. Nobody really expects it. And the reason that would be the mood would be because they're not doing well. So, yeah, so for Chris Wilder, it's a case of, you know, they embrace that, look forward to that. He said he's really excited for these last nine games. But equally, in terms of preparation, etc., it is one game at a time, as cliche as it sounds. They never look ahead of themselves. For example, he set the day. He's not even thought about the Peterborough game yet, which is the first league game after the international break. You know, he's all focus. He's all in on the Chelsea game, because that's the next game. So he's very much a kind of, you know, next game is the biggest game kind of manager.
I guess this is the right way to approach it. Dom, I'll ask you both this in a week's time and then a week after that. But given where Middlesbrough are now in the league and they are in the FA Cup quarterfinal, what would you deem a successful season? I mean, if they get to the final of the FA Cup but slip out of the playoffs, is that a successful season? I mean, given where they were when Wilder took over, you would have taken where they are now, I guess.
I think you know, if Borough were to make the playoffs, you know, if you make the playoffs and don't go up, that's obviously disappointing, because Borough won't fear anybody in the playoffs. I think if you were offered a playoff place when Chris Wilder took charge, then you know, obviously snap the hand off. I think the good, you know, the kind of satisfying and exciting thing is, every year you look at teams, don't you, and you think, like, they're having a right crack and they have to go up this year. You know, it's, you look at some of the squads and the wage bills and you think it's win or bust, really. Whereas how often has Chris Wilder talked about the short-term aims, the medium-term aims, the long-term aims? If Borough go up this year, then you'd say they're probably ahead of schedule. I certainly don't think that'll have been expected when Wilder took charge. But equally, you don't turn your nose up at the opportunity to win promotion in the Premier League. But if they don't go up, then they're going to come back stronger next year, aren't they? You know, they've spent this season, in the build-up to January, we saw how productive a window Borough had with, what, 6 weeks of preparation with Wilder in charge. So Borough are undoubtedly going to come back stronger. You know, the FA Cup run's just a bonus, isn't it? And if you get to Wembley, then I think it's a successful season, regardless of what happens in the league. If you get to an FA Cup semi-final and you're in Championship club, as we've said on a number of times on here, they're the occasions, and that's what it's all about, isn't it? As a fan, they're the games that you remember. You know, my little boy's two, and I'm thinking if Borough get to an FA Cup semi-final, he's going to have to get a ticket and go, because he might not get to see Borough at Wembley again in the next 30 years. He might not remember it, but he'll have to get a seat somehow. So, you know, they're the games you remember. You know, I think what's exciting is, regardless really of what happens on Saturday night, if Borough win and get the semi-final, then obviously that's incredible. But if they don't, we're still in for a cracking final couple of months of the season, aren't we? It's well set up. After Wednesday night's fixtures in the league, I had a look, and 5 points separating third and ninth. It's just an incredible league, isn't it? Every year, it never fails to entertain and surprise. So I think really, regardless of what happens on Saturday, Borough are going to give it a right good crack, and we're in for a good end of the season.
Craig, how are you feeling?
Yeah, I think it's hard to add too much to what Dom said there, because I think he summed it all up absolutely perfectly. I think, you know, in terms of the wider picture of how would you evaluate the season and what would be a successful season, I think ultimately now, as long as in these final nine games they don't completely blow up, they don't implode, and they have a really good crack at making that top six, I think even if they were just to kind of slightly miss out, I think there would be an appreciation from all supporters that, you know, what a good effort they'd made to make that top six, bearing in mind they were 14th when Wilder took over, and as inconsistent as they were. And I think there'd be an appreciation from all that with, you know, a summer transfer window where there'd been a lot more preparation, and, you know, Wilder was able to put a bigger kind of stamp on his side, if you like. I think that would lead to a real enthusiasm about next season and a real big hope, which as Dom says, is really when they would have probably been more looking for promotion, when the first appointed Chris Wilder in November. I think being as far out as they were then in November, I think as Dom says, promotion this season would without doubt be, you know, ahead of schedule. But obviously, I think as long as they don't implode in these last nine games of the Championship regular season, I think, you know, this season, certainly since Wilder's took over, leaves a lot to kind of fill you with hope and fill you with, you know, genuine excitement for what could and should come next season.
Yeah, a good platform and foundation's been laid for Middlesbrough under Chris Wilder, which is great to see. Before I get your score predictions in for the weekend, I think, first off, everybody listening to this will just be sharing Dom's excitement for what potentially could happen against Chelsea in the FA Cup and so forth. I think you probably echoed every Middlesbrough fan there, Dom. But we'll just briefly talk about Jed Spence getting a call up. He scored a superb goal for Forest earlier in the week, didn't he? A nice curling effort into the corner. And again, people saying, oh, what a player this kid is. How is he not in the Middlesbrough side? Clearly, as we've said before, they don't watch enough of Middlesbrough if they have to ask that question. But Dom, a call-up can only help Middlesbrough ask more for him in the summer, I guess.
Yeah, I think so. We've said this a few times, haven't we, with kind of the good performances he's had in the FA Cup and how that's just, you know, his stock has risen with that. I think that goal in midweek, and then obviously this call-up, it's just more attention on him, and with that, his valuation will inevitably rise in the summer. As we've said on a number of occasions, you know, Borough are in the position of power here, aren't they? And you know, they're the ones that hold the cards come the summer. So, you know, I'd be surprised if Spence was a Borough player next year, given what's gone on this season and Jones's emergence. But given the way this season's gone for him, we're well placed to get a hefty pay packet for him.
Yeah, it will be quite interesting to see what happens there. Craig, give me your score prediction then for this FA Cup tie with Chelsea.
I think Borough go in highly incentivised after everything that's happened this week over the ticket saga, etc. And I think they win it 1-0 in normal time.
Dom?
Yeah, after all I said there about the excitement of it, I can't then dampen the excitement by going for a 0-2, can I? So I think Chelsea will score. I'll say 2-1 AET again.
I tell you what, if you come on the next episode and then remind us that you actually said 0-2, but you can't say it, we'll not be having that. So there'll be no.
No. I'm standing 2-1, I think. I think Chelsea will score, but I'm going 2-1 after extra time.
You know what?
No
I love
way it. Through, Dale Fry. No way through.
There just doesn't seem to be any fear, as we've mentioned, with this Middlesbrough side. Like you say, they'll be up a high after the saga with the tickets and what have you. The Riverside's going to be absolutely bouncing. I think they're going to win it. I think they'll be into the semi-finals. I do think Middlesbrough are definitely is a bit of a strong word, but I do feel Middlesbrough are going to win this game, and we'll be talking about them in the semi-finals of the FA Cup in the next episode. Touch wood.
I will just throw this one out there, though. Me mum has been getting really into the FA Cup run. She's been watching all the FA Cup games and absolutely loving it, to the point she actually messaged me the other day saying UTB, which was incredible from me mum, who just has no interest in football whatsoever. But unfortunately, she's working on Saturday evening. She's a nurse with the NHS, and she's working. So if Middlesbrough don't win, I have made clear to her that it is her fault.
So she's the lucky charm, but I mean, I guess in a way that it also sums up the way the FA Cup fever is getting around people. And like we said earlier in the show, I think you've got pretty much the whole of the UK behind Middlesbrough on Saturday to push them on to beat Chelsea, and fingers crossed they do. You can head over to GazetteLive.co.uk, where we'll bring you the build-up to this FA Cup tie. We'll also bring you the coverage through the live blog as well. Thank you very much for tuning in. Do head over to Facebook page as well. And please remember to like and subscribe to the podcast.